Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jason Searle, and on behalf of Capon's Men, we thank you for joining us in the Foxhole. Our men's faith formation groups follow the example of servant of God, Father Emil Capon, a priest from Kansas, who lived the gospel in a simple daily life all the way through his heroic actions on the battlefields and in the prisoner of war camp in Korea, where he eventually died at the hands of his captors. Although Father Capon was ordered to safety during the Battle of Insan, his response to accompany his men during the battle that ensued and their subsequent capture resulted in Father Capon becoming the most highly decorated chaplain in the United States Army history. The Foxhole's been honored to host guests who are making a difference in their communities, their families, and their faith circles, and we explore how they, just like Father Capon, are doing the simple things in extraordinary ways. This week, we're honored to have Billy Hardin. Billy has acted on film and on Broadway. He hails from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where he is dedicated to his family. His faith life has kept him centered throughout his career, and he's been eager to find ways to share his gift. He's developed a men's faith formation group there in Pittsburgh of men who journey in their faith with one another, and we'll learn more about this and Billy in just a moment. Before I turn it over to Joe and Billy, I want to remind you that you can find all our resources at capeandsmen.com, and you can watch our free faith formation series at www.form.org. You can also share this and our previous podcast with friends via Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, or any other podcast format. We appreciate you helping us to share the message of Father Capon, so please give us a like and write us a review if you're inspired to do so. Joe will lead us in prayer in just a second, and with this, it's an honor to introduce and welcome both Joe and Billy. Good morning, brothers, and thanks for joining us in the Foxhole.
Thank you, Jason, and welcome. It's good to be here. It's such an honor, and I'm so excited today, and I want to pray, but before I pray, I just want to, one of the things Jason said is give us a like on Facebook or share this with a friend or a family member. Yesterday, I was talking to a friend in St. Louis, and they said, Joe, this is my favorite podcast, and I was so honored and excited. I was like, man, go to the iTunes and give it a five-star review, because that is how we get the word out. It's part of how we're spreading Father Capon, and also just this idea of accompaniment. And it really has blessed a lot of people, and I would say me in particular. So let's start with a prayer, and then I'm going to introduce you to a good friend of mine, and I think it's just going to be a beautiful, beautiful morning together. So in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's just take just a moment and just be still with the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for each other. We thank you for the opportunity to walk and to journey together, and I just pray for all of the men that have joined us on this call and all those that will hear us later on the podcast. Let us know, Lord, we're not alone, and that we belong to you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, it was only a matter of time before we had somebody from Hollywood come on this call, because as everybody knows, I am constantly mistaken for Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So this is not abnormal, okay? So I'm gonna bring a good friend of mine on. I know he's on the other line. His name is Billy. Billy, I've gotten to know for the past year and a half in Pittsburgh, and he's a kind of a Steelers fan, but not a huge Steelers fan, so that's why I put up with him. But I just want him to come on, introduce himself a little bit. And Billy, you know, you got to tell a little bit about some of these famous folks you bumped into. So share a little bit about who you are, Billy, and give us a couple of, I think some of the guys would be fascinated to hear about this Catholic guy who hung out with some pretty big celebrities.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Well, thanks for the welcome. And I am from Pittsburgh, and I grew up here. I've been all over the country through various entertainment forms of theater and film and performance. But you brought up the Steelers. Now, you used the word kinda. And the thing that's funny about that is, I think I'm just a big, big Steelers fan from the Steelers of the 70s, right? So I'm in my late 40s. So I grew up with the Steelers, you know, so for me, we had Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, the playoffs, and the Super Bowl. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, playoffs, the Super Bowl. It just seemed like all part of the holiday. There was no confusion that the Super Bowl would be involved there. And I don't know, was that the same for you growing up, Joe?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. The Bengals are not selfish. They don't take holidays away from people. They give holidays back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I will share. So I'm certainly a father and I'm 25 years married now to my high school sweetheart, and we have 6 kids. And it was interesting though. I have a teenage son who's a middle linebacker, and he loves the game of football. And when he was kind of in middle school, my wife said to me, Billy, you know, why don't you go out with a bunch of the dads and, you know, get to know these men that are with our son's friends and stuff. So I do think this is kind of funny to share. By nature that I'm a performer and more artsy, I wasn't athletic, but I was very coordinated. And so I'm sitting at a table with a bunch of dads, and they're like, man, what an incredible time for our city. You know, the Steelers are playing, the Pirates are playing, and the Pens are playing all at the same time. And so here's this performing artist dad sitting at this table, and I thought, all right, Billy, here's my chance. We're going to see how this next couple hours go. So I chimed in with, and the Lion King's in town for a month. You can't get a parking space anywhere, you know? So the whole table just busted out laughing, and I said, don't tell me you have not seen The Lion King. And it actually, you know, set the tone for me for just about any type of conversation in the bleachers for the last 5 years. So that's my football analogy for you.
Yeah, no, I think that's solid stuff. I now tell me, you and I have talked a little bit about your experience in Hollywood. I know as a Catholic, yesterday you mentioned like my most important role ever, but share just a little bit of that with us, Billy, if you don't mind. Maybe
yeah,
some of the experiences you had out there.
You know, I've been very fortunate in my, you know, I've been in the entertainment industry for the better part of 3 decades, and a lot of my dreams came true. You know, and I met a lot of people that, you know, most people say, wow, famous, you know, Renee Zellweger, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Richard Gere, Bruce Willis, Liza Minnelli, Cheetah Rivera. And I've also met a lot of actors nobody's ever heard of that are really, you know, incredible performers and entertainers. But in Hollywood or even in New York, I found myself in conversations with my agents with, I appreciate the chance to possibly be in that movie, but I don't want to play that guy. Or, you know, I know it'd be great. Columbia Pictures is going to do this film, or Miramax is going to do this film, but I don't think that role is something for Billy Hartung. And most of my professional conversations, most of my memories are of me turning down things because I spent 20 years trying not to be, you know, someone who crushes the spirit of a human being, you know, and I could go on to many analogies, but my agents were often frustrated with me. They said, you know, Billy, you're just acting. And I said, yeah, but these are gifts of mine. And if I use them for things that are not healthy, that's what I'm going to be remembered for. That's what my children someday will see. And I do believe that my biggest role is to be a husband and a father and someone who follows Jesus Christ, who walks with him. And, you know, actors use that word character all the time. Oh, I'm creating a character. Well, Jesus has the greatest character of all time. And if I'm going to spend time in character analysis, you know, my life's really served in watching his life, of love and of serving, right? Through his heart, which is what he gave me when he sent all of us to the earth. Was love was probably the biggest boom every one of us had when we got here. Take care of it. I'm sending you here with love. So that's kind of my take on following Jesus. It hasn't been a problem at all. It's had clarity always.
Well, it's you mentioned it and kind of blew past it. We both have 6 children. And we both have been married for roughly 25 years. But you mentioned your high school sweetheart, and I think the first time I met you, I just remember thinking, how does a guy stay married with that kind of career in Hollywood and on Broadway? Like, and you even, without even knowing the pilgrimage and the Formed and all this stuff we've done with Cave of the Men, you were kind of describing your marriage as this pilgrimage. Would you break that open a little bit? I think that's, fascinating for me as a guy who spends a lot of his space life talking about pilgrimage.
Yeah, so you know, that is kind of the joke that, you know, my friends will be like, "Wow, you have six kids, Billy," and I usually chime in with, "All to the same woman. How about that?" Right? And you know, it always percolates a hearty laugh. And but it's effortless for me to. I mean, Sharon has been an incredible gift in my life. We met in the hallways of high school, and grew up in our faith. And so, you know, I'm a little bit of a, you know, an odd duck in the entertainment world, because I'm not only responding to the could be, the maybe, the might be of my career. I go home to an incredibly grounded, you know, back then in a one bedroom apartment with no kids, but there was still a beauty in my marriage that many people would say they really admire and they respect. But now with six kids, I'll have friends that tour. You know, I live in Pittsburgh now. I was in New York for a decade, and they'll come through with shows or doing a film, and they'll stop and they'll visit and they'll say, "Billy, how do you do this, man? Like, you know, every morning." You know, I said, "Well, guys, you know, I think of seven people before me every morning. There was a time where it was, what does my agent want from me? What does the director want from me? But it brings me great joy to think of, What can I do with my life to take care of these people that God has blessed me with?" And when you think of a pilgrimage, many people often think, I went with some men or with a group of people on a journey. And the greatest pilgrimage that I've been on, that I'm still on, is this journey with my wife. You know, there are times when it's silent. There are times when it's talking, you know, maybe me talking more or Sharon talking, but there's listening and sharing, and there's struggles and there's victories, and there's the spoken reality. And then there's this unspoken stillness that in 25 years of marriage, in 33 years of being in love with Sharon, it's a journey towards love, right? And to help each other, you know, get to heaven. I don't know if that is said as much, but that's kind of what we're doing in this world that's throwing all kinds of stuff at us. So we're walking together with the Lord, and I believe on the altar, that's what we said we'd do, right? So that's kind of how I feel about that.
No, I think even this image of journeying together, it sometimes has these real moments of clarity, and then there's times where you just like get some curveball. And I know that we've even talked sometimes about not necessarily a curveball, just unexpected things along the journey. And you, the first time I met you, spoke of an unexpected surprise that you guys have had, and the blessing that it has been for your marriage and for your family. And it inspired me. So would you mind, is it okay, Billy, if you just share a little bit about Isaac? And I have an Isaac in my family, too. So I know that was how we connected, was we both have sons named Isaac.
Is he your youngest son?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, so we both have our youngest sons are named Isaac. So you know, I just to really just lay it out there in a very, very casual way, you know, Sharon and I feel so blessed to have kids. We probably in our young married life said, "Hey, let's have four." Like we could just say, "Hey, let's have four. Like, let's order a pizza, you know?" And then, you know, we found that we had this, you know, we have a beautiful family. And then we found ourselves with a fifth child, and we were a little bit surprised. I mean, we knew how that happened, but we were like, "Wow, okay, so this is pretty amazing, right? This is amazing." And then in my 40s, so now I'm a dad feeling already like, "Wow." And Isaac comes into the world, and we were like, "Wow, okay, we're gonna do this, right?" And then we start thinking, "How are we gonna do this, right? We're not young parents anymore, and this isn't an easy world to migrate." And then, you know, Joe, as I shared with you, about 14 weeks into another journey, another opportunity to grow another pregnancy. Now, 14 weeks in utero, we received a phone call that said, "Hey, we'd like to talk with you about, you know, some things we're seeing on an ultrasound. And, you know, there's soft signs of things we'd like to share with you." So, of course, you know, Sharon calls me and says, "You know, let's get on this call together." So we were, and it was at that time that the doctor shared with us that our son we didn't know if it was a little boy, but our child was going to probably be born with Down syndrome or a trisomy 21. And we can't confirm that, but we are seeing that this is going to happen. And, you know, for Sharon and I, it was immediate that, you know, we are having a baby. We are not having a syndrome, right? So that is like the united piece of our marriage was this is life, and this is something that's really special. And for us, and as a family, we thought, how do we guide this? We have a huge family. It's not just the people in our home, the structure. So we said, you know, we want people to fall in love with a baby, and we don't know. We've never known the gender of our baby. So we didn't tell anyone for the entire pregnancy that this was possible, although highly probable. And we just grew in a surrender to God for what is his will for us, for our family. You know, and if you sit still long enough, you think, wow, maybe God put all of us in place to say, now it's time for this. And together we had Isaac. We told no one. Again, I want to be very clear, not because we were ashamed or worried. We just wanted them to fall in love with a baby. And for a solid month, no one knew one thing about him that was any different than anyone else. Every statement, every photograph, every every giggle in our family was just like it was for every kid. And then we told our children first. And at first we were like, we should tell our moms first or our dads first. But it was, no, we need to tell our children first so that they can help guide people how to embrace and love Isaac for who he is and the magic that he brings. And we had an incredible talk with our kids about the things that people have that maybe we know we can feel, but we can't see right away. Because again, nobody knew for the first month of his life that he would be any different. And, you know, what came out of our children's mouths was not only magical and inspiring, but they shared the beauty of Isaac with everyone. There was not a formal, okay, people, let's pull it together. You know, Isaac has given more than he's ever taken. And he's 5 years old. He is every bit of a little toddler boy running around. And we often say, you know, yes, he has Down syndrome, but we think Isaac came with up syndrome. You know, he is up at the crack of dawn, and he is up in every conversation. And in church, when people look at us and go, they're taking up the whole pew again, and every kid has been a crier, and there's Isaac. I say, well, no, Isaac's not crying. He's praising the Lord. He just doesn't have a lot of consonants right now. He just has mostly very passionate vowels, you know. So that's kind of our journey with something unexpected. But what it has done to our children, Joe, I mean, our children have grown in acceptance and love and embracing the could be out of everything and in their faith. And they're in a lot of them, you know, growing up with an entertainment dad, you know, I promise you they knew who Gene Kelly was before they knew who Barney was. And, they really have a chance to be on the stage if they want it, but they're moving into, you know, speech language pathology and audiology majors and nursing majors because they see that we can have occupations, but we can give so much of ourselves through service, health services and things. So I couldn't imagine our family without any of our children, but Isaac is the one that has really, for the rest of, you know, time, I will say that Isaac, our kids will leave the house, and you know this with having six kids, they get older and they go. Isaac will be the one that pulls them right back in faster than dad could ever. And I think they love me and they love their mom, but there's something about Isaac that just said, bring them home, people, bring them home. So.
Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. There's something beautiful about unexpected things being viewed as possibilities. And that's what that's what you're so good at, Billy. And you're so positive. I want to make sure we touch on this men's group you started in Pittsburgh. It's called Jeans and T-Shirt. It's a cool little, not even small, it's a cool big group of men that you get together with. Share with us a little bit about why maybe you kind of felt called to it, what you're doing in it, and kind of some of the things you're seeing and some of the fruits of that.
Yeah, so you know, I think if I go back just a little bit, you know, in like 2015, you know, going back a couple years, like maybe many men on this call, they attend a church or their parish, and they see some men passing baskets or taking care of the church. And I was a guy in the pew that a lot of the older men would say, hey, come and be a part of this men's group of ours, you know? And so I would kind of say, I'll get there when I can. I'm raising my kids. And I wasn't putting it off or putting the church off, but I wasn't actually accepting an invitation to be a part of the men's group in the church. And then I started to, and I noticed there were just a couple other young guys. And what's important about this piece to understand jeans and a t-shirt is these older men who have taken care of this church for 50 years, 60 years, said, hey, fellas, we need some help here. Who's going to get in there? And what's going to happen when we're not here? You know, we need some help taking care of this place. And so, you know, some men who were also the same age range, the same kind of parenting range with our kids, we jumped in, and it was fascinating. But this was the aha moment. I said to one of my children, I said, hey, you're going to come with me to hold the basket for collection. He said, why? And I said, well, you know, these men need men to help take care of the church. So I take little Andrew with me, and you know, one of the guys who'd been in charge of the men's group forever said, hey, what's going on? I said, well, if we don't teach Andrew how to take care of the church, how's he supposed to know? We can't just call him out of a pew one day. Let's teach him. So, you know, at this time, he's 7 years old. He just holds the basket at the end and helps us clean things up. But every man there was like, boom, this is beautiful. He had a job, right? So what was funny about it is I kept saying to him, hey, someday when Dave's not here, Andrew, you're going to take care of the church, pal, right? You got this. So we're at Christmas Eve Mass this very year, and Children's Mass, and, you know, there's a lot of adults and a lot of kids and a lot of noise, and again, I take up the whole pew, and I can't find Andrew. I'm like, what's going on? Where's Andrew? And sure enough, I look across the church, and he's standing right next to the door, the entry door, with his hands folded, waiting by the table, you know, and I said, hey, what are you doing? He goes, Dad, he's not here. I said, who's not here? He goes, Mr. Cannavale's not here, Dad. I'm supposed to do this when he's not here. And I realized Dave wasn't assigned to the children's mass on Christmas Eve, right? He was the midnight mass guy. So I thought, wow, like, he's listening, he's watching. So if you tie that part of the story about bringing people into the church or to learn to take care of it, I found that I was really growing close in my relationship with the Lord through a series of retreats. And these retreats were powerful. And I would see men from all over the city of Pittsburgh. It wasn't just men from one parish or from your neighborhood. And I thought, hey, this is pretty great. So I came up with jeans and a t-shirt because if you think of jeans and a t-shirt, it's the last thing you would wear in a church. So the last thing most people would say, show up. But for me, year after year, in Eucharist adoration, I was at the foot of the cross in a chapel in jeans and t-shirt and my cowboy boots at 3 a.m. And I had never felt closer to the Lord. I had never felt more at peace. And in those spaces, you hear that, you know, we really are called to serve. We are chosen to serve God. You know, John chapter 15 says, you know, I've chosen you. And when we think about that, we're like, but why me? Like, what can we do? He says, just do things with each other and grow. So I thought, could you have a retreat out of a retreat? And maybe jeans and a t-shirt could be something like that. So, you know, now we're in 2018 and I just put together a flyer to a bunch of great men. And it said, it's not a program or a curriculum we bought. It's not taught by a professional speaker. It's low-key and informative and reflective. And if you show up, it'll be full of some really wonderful men, right? So 12 guys showed up to do, you know, a Lenten series of, you know, Bishop Fulton Sheen's 7 last words of the cross. And it was powerful. And then the 7 men the next week turned into 12, and then it turned into 28. And by the end of that span of time, you know, we had 48 men as we moved into Easter, just gathering for Stations of the Cross. And the goal was, this wasn't on like a published document. It was a, you know, a PDF made from my printer. And I said, we'd love to have 7 locations for us to meet. And what if we were meeting in people's homes or even in people's places of business after hours, you know, or a bonfire, or even if you're at a local tavern or a restaurant and you're literally talking. So those 48 men grew to 60 men, you know, and the words they shared over time were authentic. It's beautiful. It's incredible. It's inspired. It's honest. It's real. It's fresh. What's next? And I was like, I don't know what's next. I just thought it'd be great to get together. But in that idea of get together, if maybe I'm brave enough or have the quirkiness or the confidence to say, can I just pull us together and we'll create a circle of men, but let God be great? It's not about Billy being great or any one of us having the answer tonight or today. It's just let God be amazing and see what happens. Can we all just keep growing in our life with the Lord? And when our kids watch us and see what we're doing, they're like, hey, Dad's out with the men tonight. You know, Dad's with this group of men. You know, jeans and a t-shirt is nothing brilliant from a branding standpoint. We don't sell anything. We're not doing anything that says, you know, oh, there's their building or there's their official stamp. You know, it finally has gone into, you know, jeans and a t-shirt. You know, we're just a bunch of dudes trying something new, you know, and now there's 98 guys on our email list. So that's how we see that.
Praise the Lord. No, I think that's the best way to move a lot of times is with no real plan in place. It certainly puts you in a very vulnerable spot where God has to take over. Billy, I'm going to invite you to pray for us. We've done this with everybody we have on. You're a superstar and a good guy, and I certainly appreciate your friendship. And what I'm going to ask you to do is you're going to pray for us, and then Scott's going to come in on the back end and close the call down. But I again, I'm grateful for you, grateful for your time. And you know I'm praying for you and look forward to what God's going to do with jeans and t-shirts. So pray us out of here and we'll head towards Scott.
All right, brother. And thank you guys for having me on. You know, I've been on every week and it's blessed my life. I'd like to start just with a reading from Colossians. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And as Joe has said time and time again, when we place ourselves in the presence of the Lord, he says, come Holy Spirit. And what is on my heart every day is, come Holy Spirit. Lord, we adore you. Tell us what to do. Guide us as men. Comfort us. Console us. Strengthen us, certainly in these challenging times ahead. And give us the courage to promise to submit our will to all that you desire and to have the courage to accept all that you permit to happen to us. Holy Spirit, tell us what to do. Lord, we also ask that you can hear all the needs of the men on this call today as they walk with you in a journey, always. And we ask this in your name through your Son, Jesus Christ, within the unity and the power of the Holy Spirit. And if I just may end in a moment of song, because at this moment it's getting harder to sing in our churches. So bear with me for just a second. We are called to act with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another and walk humbly with God, and walk humbly with God.
Thanks so much, Billy. We appreciate you joining us and your courage and your joy. And it's good to hear from you again. I know I've talked to you. It's been several months now, but glad to hear that you are doing well and to hear even more of your story. It was a powerful witness. And I think for all of us listening in on the call and for those listening in on the podcast, I think that the challenge for us is kind of what you said, talking about your son Isaac, but also with jeans and a t-shirt, the could be, the possibilities, that there's always a positive side to things, whether it's something that challenges us, something that is that we encounter, whether it be in work or in family life, even if it's something small, that there's always a positive that the Lord is sending. And I think You know, in that way we can be open to the Holy Spirit, His work. Sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't speak in big ways, but speaks just in the little things that we can, you know, the little ways that He wants to take something that maybe is grating us and turn it into a positive. So I think that's our challenge this week, is to always look for that positive side of things that could be, and to be open to that. So thanks again. The next 2 weeks we've got Matt Franklin, who is a musician, speaker, and youth minister from California. So he will be getting up super early to join us. But he's been great. He's been, done a lot of ministry all across the United States, and is, again, another friend of Joe's. And then the following week, we have Father Stephen Vrazel, who is from the Archdiocese of Mobile, Alabama, who will be joining us as well. So we've got another great couple of weeks lined up. It's good to be back with you all, and hope you have a fantastic day. Stay close to the Lord, and He will lead you where we need to go. Thanks, and God bless, men.
Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.